Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. If we consider his grace, consider who he is, we will still be amazed, even become more and more amazed with it over the years if we let God work in our hearts and lives. Very familiar passages of scripture, probably many of you could quote it, but it's something that the Lord laid upon my heart for a revival that's coming up. I think he has some interesting things inside of it to encourage your heart with. Title of this morning's message is, If My People. If My People. Are you one of God's? Do you belong to him? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? It's an interesting question, and it's a question that many people do not know the answer to. Some people are confused by it. Sometimes when I'm talking to somebody and they tell me they're a believer, they tell me they're a Christian, and I ask them for their testimony. And if it's something that I don't really see being biblical, I'll ask them this question. If someone asks you, can you give me a biblical reason why God should let you into heaven, what would it be? And based off of that answer, it tells whether or not truly a person knows, at least understands, that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Now, if they say anything besides that the fact that they knew that they were a sinner and that they asked Jesus Christ in their heart to save them and they put their faith and trust what Jesus Christ did on that cross, the blood of Jesus washed away their sins, things like that, then they truly don't know, they're not a believer. They don't know, and sometimes I'll talk to them and say, oh, yeah, I did that. And they were confused by the idea of how the question was put. But the reality is, have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you were convicted of your sins and saw that you were a sinner and in need of a Savior, and you cried out to God and said, Lord, I'm putting my faith and trust in you and what you've done on that cross and how you were crucified and how you were buried and rose again, and I'm trusting in you alone for salvation. And you know, there's so many different questions that people have out there today. But when you come to this verse, it talks about healing the lands. And I think today is a day that we need some healing inside our country and healing inside our lands. And it's I was asking the men yesterday, I asked them this interesting question about the different riots that were found in the Bible. How many different protests did you see in the Bible? Because here in Elizabeth City, we have different people that are protesting. And they say it's peaceful. I don't know about you, but if you stop somebody from being able to drive in traffic, that doesn't seem very peaceful to me. It's not peaceful to me. If I'm trying to drive through something, I can't get there. It's not peaceful in my mind. But you know, different people have different opinions. I'm thankful that there has not been any violence per se or any type of looting or those type of things like we've seen in other parts. And praying that it's the same way. But you come to a verse like this, and people use this as a prescription for revival. I've heard preachers talk about this over and over, but trying to be a biblical preacher, the context that this verse is written in, it's written to the nation of Israel. It's not written to us. It's not written to the church. Now, there's promises that are found there. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, there's promises that we can apply to the church, we can make application to the church, but in all reality, there's nowhere in the Bible does it say that he will heal our lands. There's nowhere in nowhere in the Bible where it says that they will heal America. But there is principles and promises that go along with that that helps us understand. That's why we preach verses like this, for the application that's there and how we can apply it. This is when the temple has just been opened. And when the temple had been opened, there's a great prayer, if you want to read it, that talks about Solomon's prayer that's there and all those other things that come to it. And it says in verse number 13, he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. He says, if there's problems in your nation, and it's kind of interesting, it uses the word I there. He says, if I send these different things to punish the nation of Israel, this is how to get right. This is how as a nation you can get right. And if you go and you read through the kings, the books of Kings and the books of Chronicles, It was true. And you go to the book of Judges, you find that truth there. If they had turned to God, false gods and idols and worshiped the wrong things, if they would humble themselves, and if God's people would humble themselves, and if they would pray and they seek their face and turn from their wicked ways, then God would hear from them. God would hear from them, and he would answer, and it would heal their lands and bring them back into the ones in charge of the lands and bring them back into the plentifulness of the land. So I don't want to make any confusions here to help you understand that there is no promise that's found there that he will heal their land. But these principles that are found here are principles that we can use. And if there is hope for our nation, it's found in this verse. If there is God's going to heal our land, it's going to happen this way because he's shown that over and over how he's demonstrated. I want you to remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Sometimes people don't like to preach in the Old Testament because of the fact that they don't think it applies to the church age. All scripture, what does the word all mean? It means all of it, every part of it is given by inspiration of God. It's been given to us. And what's it for? And it says there, it is profitable. It means it's something that we're going to gain something from. What's it profitable? It's profitable for doctrine, the teachings, the beliefs that we have. It's profitable for reproof. What does that mean? It rebukes us. It shows us where we're wrong. If it's something that's contrary to the Bible, then we're wrong. It's not that history agrees with, it's the fact that history agrees with the Bible. It is not the Bible agrees with history. The Bible is right. It's not the fact that science agrees with the Bible, not the Bible agrees with science. It's the truth that all scripture has been given. It's been given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Why is it profitable? It teaches us what we're supposed to know. Reproof means it teaches us when we've done something wrong. You ever done something wrong before? I know I have. I've done plenty wrong. And you know how I know it's wrong? Because the Bible tells me. And then it says for reproof. Then it says for correction. I love this. Don't you hate when people get sit there? Sometimes preachers do this, and probably I'm guilty of it. This is why you're wrong, and just keep on telling you why you're wrong over and over, week after week. But they never tell you how to get it right. But the Bible's not that way. The Bible not only shows you for reproof, it shows you for correction. It shows you how to get things right. And then it continues on for instruction in righteousness. It shows us how to keep it right. That's what the Bible's there for. So when we look at this great verse that we've probably heard preaching from, and I know probably in the last 18 years, I've preached from it at least a few times, but the Lord laid it upon my heart with the revival coming. Now, how can we truly see a healing in our land? How can we see God do a work in our churches? How can we see God do a work in our day, in our time? And we come to this spot and say, here's a way to do it. So I want to encourage you today as we look at this verse to remember this, the first phrase, if. Now, there's a condition there. If we do this, then God will do this. So the question is, will we do this? I mean, have we need healing in our lands for years? We have. Things have gotten worse and gotten worse. It even comes a little closer to home today. Have we needed healings in our churches? We have. It seems like the church isn't growing closer to God. It seems like it's becoming more liberal, more liberal, more liberal, going farther and farther. Thankful for churches that are not, but that's not the case for most people. It says, if. And then it uses the phrase, if my people. And I think this is important when we understand this. Let's go ahead and read the whole verse, and then we'll jump into this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's have a word of prayer. We come to you, Lord, today, and we're looking for your help. We know that you are God. You are the high and lofty one seated in eternity. And we know that you are the one in control. We know if there's going to be any help, if there's going to be any healing, if there's going to be any revival, if there's going to be anything good that happens in this world, it's going to be because of you. And Lord, we're coming and asking you, seeking you, and asking for a way to help fix the things that are going on in our churches today and in our families, inside our states and inside our country. We remember the promises that you gave to Solomon. And how if there's a problem and how there's being chastening happening and how it seems like the punishment of God is upon a nation, how things can be helped. And Lord, I pray that we get a burden today about not just for our nation and not just for our city, but Lord, a burden for what happens in our churches, what happens inside our homes, and what happens inside our hearts. So we truly believe, Lord, as you start reviving a heart of an individual, it can happen in multiple people, inside of a family, and then inside of many families, inside of a church. And inside of a church, it can happen and it can spread, not just here in our church, but can spread to the furtherance of the gospel, not just to the in our state or even in our country, but throughout the world. Lord, please, Lord, help us understand, if my people. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought about this phrase for a while, and if my people, the challenge that's there, what does it mean? God even extends it a little bit farther, if my people, which are called by my name. So obviously this is written to the nation of Israel, the promises that were given to the nation of Israel and to his people. And you think about the nation of Israel, the amazing story that's there. God calls Abraham, and he calls him out of Ur. I still remember going through the book of Genesis using that as Ur, and brings him, and he establishes a nation there. And then he gives him a testimony that's amazing, that he gives the 10 plagues, he parts the Red Sea, he sends these people to the Promised Land. Everybody knows who they are. There is one God. There's one true God. I think the whole world at that point in time had heard the stories about God and who God was and how he was able to send those plagues to the most powerful nation and be able to part the Red Sea and brought them all the way to that promised land and gave them that promised land, at least the part that they possessed. It's God's people. And in God's people, you know what he does? He gives them specific laws, gives them specific things that they're supposed to wear. I remember years ago, I preached a message, and I thought about looking up and talking about a blue piece of clothing that's at the bottom of the garment, and called it a blue ribbon Christian, and talked about how it was set there to people to recognize, hey, that's one of God's people. And sometimes I think we miss the fact that we're supposed to be different. I'm sorry, but sometimes people miss this point. So many times Christians want to become so much like the world, act like the world, dress like the world, be like the beautiful people of the world, but they forget the whole reason why he saved us was to be different. He called the nation of Israel to give them a testimony and to live a certain life and live in a particular way and not to worship other gods, to have one true God, brought them to Mount Sinai and taught them those ten commandments and showed them so many different wonderful things that made them different than the rest of the world. I remember when the nation of Israel was coming to Samuel and saying, Samuel, give us a king. We want to be like the other kingdoms. We want to have a king. And God goes to Samuel and says, hey, look, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. He says, I have given them a purpose in life. He says, I was supposed to be their king. And they said, no, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like the world. Everybody else gets to have a king. Everybody else, and Samuel begins to give them reasons why they don't want to be a king. They don't want a king. He says, they're going to take your young people. They're going to take your young men. They're going to take your fields. They're going to do this. They're going to tax you. They're going to do all these different things. You don't have to worry about that now. But no, we want a king. We want a king. We want a king. We want to be like everybody else. But the purpose why God has brought the nation of Israel out was to make them their chosen people. They were supposed to look different and act different and be different because they weren't like everybody else. These were God's chosen people. And when he says, if my people, which are called by my name, that means they have God's name on them. I thought about that for a little while and thought, man, we're called Christians today. And since Christ is God, part of the Godhead, we have God's name stamped on us. I began thinking, we're missing something when we want to be like the world. Right. We're missing something. And we're missing the whole point why he has called us. And then think about what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so what he's saying here, he's like, you should be a peculiar people because you have been taken out of darkness and been brought into the marvelous light. Your life should be different than those that are in darkness because you're not living in darkness. You're not living in the bondage of sin. The humor that the world laughs at, it's not something you're supposed to laugh at. The music and the worldliness that is so much embraced by the culture today and that's sitting there and It's not something that we're supposed to be a part of because we don't live in that darkness. We've been brought forth to his marvelous light. If my people, which are called by my name, he's saying, look, if Christians are going to do something, the only hope for our country, the only hope for our families and our churches, is not found in the White House. It's not found in those people that are chanting things. It's found in God's people who realize that I don't belong to myself. And that's what he says. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your heart and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. And that's when he comes to his summon. When you forget, when your people forget, and he knew they were going to forget. When your people forget that you belong to me, he says, I'm going to send things. And he talks about verse number 13, and he says he's going to shut up, that there's no rain and that there's the locusts and the pestilence. When all these things happen, don't be surprised. It's a reminder that God's people have gotten off track and they need to do something to get back on track. I want to encourage you today, remember the connection. Remember the connection. We are not our own. We are God's people, and we are called by his name. You are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. And I know I was introducing a second ago, I was talking in the luncheon yesterday, how there was the breakfast yesterday, different protests in the Bible, and there's not a lot. You can make up some different stories and look at different things and some interesting ones, but they got the first one talking about the one that happened in Ephesus. Remember where they sat there for a couple hours just chanting, great is the goddess Diana, not the exact word, and just kept on chanting it over and over. They had drew these men into that arena, and I doubt the mass of people knew what they were doing, but they just wanted to be a part, and they had been blinded by the devil, blinded by wickedness, blinded by darkness, and there he is, all there chanting, great is Diana, great is the goddess Diana, and they're all just there chanting and chanting and chanting, probably not even understanding what's going on or why they're chanting. And it reminds me of sometimes the protest that happens across the world, and people are just sitting there and they've been blinded by so many lies sometimes, and deceitfulness and ugliness, and they're just chanting certain things that have nothing to do with the cause that they really are seeking for, which is supposedly truth and justice. I don't know about you, but I'm not picking on anybody because I'm not perfect as a preacher, but I see guys out there that have the name Reverend or the name Apostle or a name this, name that, and when you hear them talk, they don't talk about God at all. Or they use the name God just as some type of little trinket or some type of decoration, but then they go completely against what the Bible says. Their life has nothing to do. They're teaching, they're talking. The words that they are saying are full of hate and full of different things, and it's nothing to do about the scriptures, nothing to do with it. And you can see from their lives, and you hear these people that travel around, and they many times, and it amazes me because God is saying, if my people, which are called by my name, they're saying that they're part of God's people, and they're liars. They're not. They're not showing a life that has been born again, and they're not talking about people being born again. That's not their interest, and I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying that if my people, which are called by my name, if you truly want hope, and you truly want peace, and you truly want justice, and you truly want what's right, it's when God's people are willing to do these steps, then God can make a difference in the community. If my people, and he says, look, not only are they just my people, they're called by my name. He says, they got my name on them. It's written on them. And that's who you are. You've been called from darkness into the marvelous light, and act like it. But then you see, and I'm not just talking about specifically here, not really even mentioning things that are happening in Elizabeth City per se, but I see people that use the name of God to try to win some hearts over, to try to appease himself, that they can continue to do the wicked things and wrong things and do it in the name of Jesus. And it's wrong. It's not the way we're supposed to act either. I want to encourage you today. Remember, the verse starts off with the word if, but then it talks about a connection. If my people. Are you a child of God? Do you belong to him? Is he yours? Is he yours? Are you his? Are you called by his name? If so, make sure that you're living a life that shows it. I know sometimes, and I know it doesn't mean much to many people. I even tell this to my son sometimes. He says, remember, you're representing God. But make sure you remember you're representing that P's name. And and you might think that's stupid, but at the same time, we taught our sons, hey, the things you do, they reflect us. And I'm not saying that everything good they do reflects us and everything bad they do reflects us, but they do have that P's name. Remember my dad saying that to me. Remember that. And it's got your name. Might not mean anything to you, but it's my name. And sometimes when they do things that disappoint, and they don't do very often, and I don't beat them over the head, remember your reflection. But it's a reminder after having a conversation with them, helping them, encouraging. So remember, when you do this, you're hurting your testimony. And it says, and remember, you only have one name. And it says, that's going to be your name. These things are going to be associated with you. God says, if my people, which are called by my name. Then he says, if you truly, you see the connection there, and I pray that you know that connection. I pray that you say, I am one of his people. I know that I've been bought with a price. I know that I'm supposed to live my life glorifying God. I know that he has called me because he loved me, and because he loved me, he gave me a way of salvation, and he desires something that's different. He doesn't desire for me to be like the world. He does not want me to act like I still live in darkness. He didn't save me to live in darkness. He didn't save me to continue to look like I live in darkness. He saved me so that way I can show forth his praises. How are you going to show forth his praises if you're still living the same way? He says, show forth the praises of him who have called you out of that darkness into his marvelous light. But so often we don't show forth anything in our lives except for, I look like darkness still. He says, you've been called, and he says, you're supposed to show forth his praises. You're supposed to live a life that says, I've been born again. I belong to God. If my people, which are called by my name, I am a Christian, and I demonstrate that with the way I live, not just by saying it. And that's not even, many times they were called, you know, Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because they were like Christ. They didn't go around looking for that name. They say, hey, call me a Christian. No. It's shown. It's showing forth the praises of him who have called you. And I want to encourage you today, remember the connection that you have. Now, to get the help that we all desire is remember the prerequisites. The prerequisites. There's a call for preparation here. When it talks about, he says, shall humble themselves. If we truly are ever going to get the help that we desire, we have to learn that we are under another. We're under God, that we belong to him. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my desires. And that's what he's saying to the nation of Israel. If you go wrong, you start doing wrong, and punishment happens, and chastisements, and judgment happens, guess what? If you want to get better, remember, first of all, that you belong to me, and humble yourself. Stop serving these wicked gods. Stop serving in darkness. Stop doing the things I called you away from. He says, I didn't want you to be like that. I want to bring a people to myself that I can be thy God, their God, and they can be my people. And he's saying that you have to prepare your hearts. You have to be able to humble yourself. Show that you're dependent. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We acknowledge that he is God, that he is our Lord, and that he should be the center and preeminent of my life. And then as we humble ourselves, it says, pray. There's no sense praying unless you're going to humble yourself. Unless you see him for who he is and ourselves for who we are, then we can know how to pray. You're God. I understand that you're in control. These are my heart's desires. If they're not your desires for my life, please show me. I'm not trying to get my will done up in heaven. I'm trying to get your will done in this world, Lord. Show me what it is you want me to do. And then you clearly see the word of God means you're humbled and you're praying and you're seeking God. And I guess the next step, not only do you pray, it talks about praying with a passion. You recognize that God is the only one that's able and you need him, and that prayer is the essential ingredient in the mystery that comes along with God sending a revival, sending a healing of land, but you just don't do it passively. You do it with a passion. You don't just say it once. It's something that is a continual seeking after. And that's what he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. There is a seeking that means that I desire this. It's the idea that I'm going to come to the place where God becomes my number one priority, and not just for that moment, but something I'm going to seek throughout the day. I don't know about you, some of my challenges is as I am confronted with God and His holiness and confronted with the attributes of God during my praise time, I'm willing to surrender and I'm willing to become dependent and I'm willing to do whatever He says and whatever He wants. But then it comes to the spot that prayer time's over and I go face the world and it's like, what am I going to do now sometimes? It's because I stopped seeking after Him. It became a desire for a moment. It came, you met with the Lord, and but it's got to be a continual throughout the day. That's why He says, pray without ceasing. That's why as you're continuing, Lord, I still recognize I'm not able and I need You. I'm looking, I'm seeking, I'm searching, Lord. What is Your will? What is Your direction? I am doing it with a passion. But not just a passion. I'm doing it with a purity also. Look what it says. Seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. He was saying to the nation of Israel, don't think just one little prayer is going to make a difference. Don't just think just because you're sad because of the things that are happening that you can just say a couple words and I'm going to come and fix things. He says, you need to first understand that you're My people. You need to humble yourself with that fact. You need to begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, that you continue on praying. And as I reveal things unto you, that you turn away from them. When I show you the sin that has separated Me from you, when I have showed you the sin that's causing judgment to fall, when I show you sin, He says, that's what I want you to turn away from those things. Don't just say, hey, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever You want, and I reveal something to You, and you continue on just doing it. That's why we have problems in so many times in our churches today and in our families, is because we like the darkness that we were saved out of. We see the jokes. We hear the music. We're influenced by this world. And we don't recognize it as being something that is dark and satanic. Instead, we say, oh, it's not that much different than me. You've missed the whole point. If My people, which are called by My name, will act like they've been called out of that darkness and shun those things and show forth the praises of God, hey, I'm different, and it's okay because I'm serving God. I don't have to be like the rest of the world. I can forgive. I can live. I can serve. I can be faithful. I know I'm different than you are because I'm trying to show forth the change He's made in my life. And when it comes to when God reveals something in our hearts, and sometimes it's things that we love. Sometimes it's things we've done for years. That's why we ask Him to search us, because we don't always see it. Sometimes we're stubborn. We don't even understand it. Sometimes everybody else in our family sees that we are this way. But we'll never, ever accept it. But when God reveals it to us, He says, when I reveal this to you, I want you to turn from it. I don't want you to have any part of it anymore. You know what that does? It says, God, You're worthy. I praise You, Lord. And if You don't want me to be a part of that anymore, I'm willing to give it up in order to see You make a difference in my world. You see, the problem with the enemies of revival, pride is an enemy of revival. Prayerlessness is an enemy of revival. Priorities, not seeking His face, is an enemy of revival. Presumption is an enemy of revival. Hey, I'm clean, I'm good. No, we can always draw closer to Him. Does our land need healing? It does. It has a sin problem. It's a wicked world we live in today. It needs Jesus. But we're the ones that have Him. The third thing I want you to see is not just remember the connection, My people, which are called by My name, and then remember the prerequisites, talking about humbling and praying and seeking His face and turning from wicked ways. Remember the promises. See, Pastor, you said, now, once again, this is Old Testament. This is written to the nation of Israel specifically, but there are promises that are given to us also. He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You know, there's been great revivals in our days. There's been a couple great awakenings in our days. You know, things had not always been pretty and good in America. There has been wicked times in our nation. And God has healed our lands. And God is able. And I believe God is even willing to do it again. But here's the prerequisites that go along with that. Remember some of the promises. Remember the prayer promise, call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I love that verse. Because once again, if we call out to him, he's promised you that he's going to answer you. And I know I use this illustration, but you ever try to get a hold of somebody, you call and call and call, and they never pick up? I have people like that. I know they don't do it on purpose, right? And you sit there and you call and you call and you call, you never pick up. God's not like that. God doesn't have a limit of number of minutes he can talk to you. Doesn't have a limit of number of texts that they can call you. Now, 10 years ago, that made a difference. Now everybody has unlimited data and unlimited calling and unlimited texting. But God's going to answer you. And the promise here is not just, it's nice that God answers, but God not only answers you, but he shows you what you need to do. Amen. You think about what it says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Why do I need to call God? It's because I don't know everything. I don't know what I'm supposed to do today. I don't know how I'm supposed to react. I don't know all these things. That's why I call into him and God answers me and he shows me these things which I don't know. That's where the humility comes in. That's where the prayer comes in. That's where I come seeking his face. How am I supposed to act today? What am I supposed to do with protests? What am I supposed to do with social injustice? What am I supposed to do with all these things? That's when we speak to the Lord. We talk to the Lord. We all have our own opinions. And you know what? Some people, you get 10 different people, you might have 10 different opinions. It matters what God says. Why is that? Because I don't belong to you. I belong to God. I don't wear your name on me. I wear God's name on me. And I want to encourage you today that there's promises. There's a condition that he gives, if my people. That means if God's people is willing to do it and do those things, he will bring revival. He'll bring a reviving spirit. He'll make a change. If you want to experience a true moving of God in revival, we'll see God's power touch us when we're willing to do these things as a collective group. He'll do it individually. But if we wanted to see him do it as a group and see God make a difference in our church, is when God calls us and we're willing to follow. Many, many great promises in the Bible. Things such as ask and you'll receive, knock, you'll be open. When does all those things happen? They happen when we line up with God's desires for our lives. What's God's desires? Is that we will be a people that his people, that humbles themselves, seeks his face, turn from the wicked ways, pray, then he's going to give us the answer. Psalms 37 says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I know that we have a lot of different things we desire. You say, Pastor, I don't get those answers to prayer. It's because it's not God's will for your life. It's when we delight in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart, because they're not our desires. They're God's desires for me. I want to encourage you today. Remember who you belong to. Remember, you don't have to be part of some group. You don't have to be part of this, part of that. Remember, you belong to the Lord, and God's called you here to be a part of our church, and that's exciting. But he says, if my people, which are called by my name, are you acting like a person that's been taken out of the darkness and putting forth in the light? Are you showing forth his praises? There's prerequisites that go along with this. It's being humble. It's praying. Not just praying. It's seeking his face. Not just seeking his face. When God speaks, we react and we move and we do what he asks us to do. Then he says, look, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to forgive your sins. Praise the Lord. When he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. He gives us these promises. Remember, there's promises connected. But here's the connection. You're his child. There's an expectation, a prerequisite. You got to be humble. You got to be willing to pray. Not just pray a little ditty and think it all done. Pray and seek his face. And when he speaks, move. And as you move, that's when he says, I'm able to start working. Many times it can't work because there's pride. There's prayerlessness. There is a problem with priorities. We don't care about seeking God's face. And then there's a problem with being presumption. I'm right with God. I know I am. Ask him. You don't have to have anything to worry about it. There's nothing wrong, right? Seek his face. He can always show us things that we can work on. If you're here this morning and not sure that you're a child of God, that you belong to him, you can get that fixed today. He died on the cross. He wants to call you from the darkness into his marvelous light. And there is a scriptural way to answer a question. If God asks you this question, why should I let you in heaven? There's a biblical answer for that. If you don't know it, let me encourage you to come forward and we can have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, help us remember that we belong to you. If my people, which are called by that, Lord, help us to show forth those praises. You want us to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood that just demonstrates to the rest of the world, I belong to you, and I'm not ashamed of it. Help us not to be like Israel when they said, I want to be like the rest of the world. Help us instead be willing to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek her face. And Lord, when you talk, help us to be able to respond and willing to respond. Lord, I pray for someone here today that may not know you. I can't say you're one of his people, a child of God. Lord, send the Holy Spirit of God to do a work of convicting their heart of their need, and Lord, that they would respond. In Jesus' name, amen.